Praise the Lord. The scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And we have various types in the Bible. Almost 2 million people, according to history, left Egypt for the promised land. Out of those that left in that generation, out of 2 million in that mighty revival, how many entered the promised land? Two. How many? Two. And these things are not there, you know, for us to play with, something for you to take seriously. A whole generation of 2 million all took up in a mighty revival. They passed through the Red Sea. They saw the plagues. They saw the power of God roar. And it was time to move to the promised land, where they will no longer be in slavery in any form of bondage. But only two out of that generation, even including the leader of the revival. It's something for us to learn. You see, and I preach a message entitled "The Gospel According to Nature." That we learn about salvation, we learn the gospel even from nature. Hallelujah. Even from nature. And I said, I took another example. That before a man can impregnate a woman, how many sperm cells minimum does he require? It requires millions. If the person has 20 million sperm cells, it is low sperm count. If your church is 20 million members, it is low sperm count. All those who brag, we have big church, we have big church. Okay, now. Then those who can't get 1,000 members. Your fertility is, there's some, zero. But where I am going, the interesting aspect is that you need above 40 million sperm cells to be able to get one into the womb. To have one. All of them are alive. Amen. All of them are called. Oh. I don't know if I'm talking to someone. All of them are called. Immediately it is released. The race begins. Where are you going? I am called. Many are called. But at the end, only one will enter. If two enter, there is celebration. If three, they say it's abnormal. If now eight, he will enter Guinness Book of Record. Out of 50 million. It is gospel God is preaching to us. Many are called, few are chosen. Therefore, Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be sure you are among those that will enter. It's not enough that you have had a voice. They all had a voice. It's not enough that you see vision. It's not enough that the pillar of fire was always there in your church. Because the pillar of fire, the light by night and cloud by day, was following them in the journey. But it was not enough that the presence of the pillar of fire in their midst, it is not enough that they will make it in the promised land. Somebody is watching me now from Nasarawa State, Lafayette. You called me earlier in the day, and you told me you belong to a church. Hallelujah. Now listen. Now you said somehow you are no longer comfortable after you jump Bright Television. And now you have problem. You have problem now. You attend that church. What do I advise him? He is no longer comfortable there because of this reason, because of that reason, this and that, this and that. And ask me, he needs my counsel. He's no more comfortable. What should he do? Of course, I told him, no church is a gateway to heaven. Hallelujah. You are going to heaven is not determined by the church you belong. But listen to my statement. But also the church you belong can hinder your movement to heaven or enhance your movement to heaven. Because if the church you are attending is teaching error, and you believe that error, and you are holding that error, you will end up where error will end. Amen. So stop all this church politics. You think I'm going to tell you, you are listening to me now, that you should leave and come to Bride Assembly? I am wiser than that. Because there are people inside Bride Assembly here that are not yet converted. You will see some of them now behaving like Christians. After some time, what you will see them manifest will shock you like electric fish. Therefore, it is about a personal relationship with God. It's about a personal relationship with God. It is not about locating which church to attend. First, get a relationship with God first, and He will lead you to where you should worship. First things first. Praise the Lord. I don't know if we can read this scripture. John chapter 4, verse 20. John chapter 4, 20, 21, 22. The woman at the well, the discussion between the woman at the well and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to pick a statement there. Verse 20. The woman was telling Jesus Christ, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, they the Samaritans. And you said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So what is their problem? The problem of that argument, the problem between the Samaritans and the Jews is a place of worship. You are redeemed. I am deeper life. You are bride. I am choosing. You are this. You are Catholic. I am Anglican. And as it takes place now, we in Anglican, this is how we do it. We in Catholic, we worship images. Amen. Hallelujah. We in Christ Embassy, we wear trousers. You say we should not wear trousers. Our pastor, we in our place, it doesn't matter. And Jesus answered in verse 21. Jesus said unto her, that is the statement I want to or rather from verse 21 first. Woman, he said, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. A time is going to come where you worship will not matter again. And now is that time. And he said in verse 22, he says, you worship, you know not what. You are worshiping a God without revelation. Amen. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is that hour when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And who is a Jew? And Apostle Paul tried to let us know who a Jew is. Amen. Can we know who a Jew is? Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. Amen. And verse 29. It says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But who is a Jew? He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Verse 29 is not easily understood by believers. There is something here. He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Your identity as a Jew now is something from the inside. And circumcision is that of the heart. It's no more in the physical cutting off of the excess flesh. It says, circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. The letter there is the law that was given to them. Then he added, whose praise that you are now a Jew inwardly now, and then you have your circumcision. Hallelujah. That it is not of the outward flesh anymore, but is now of the excesses of the heart. He said that the praise, the glory, the power that achieves that is not of men, but of God. It is God that will cause you to have that circumcision. It is God that will make you to be that Jew. A Jew is a covenant child of God. A Jew has entered a covenant with God. Hallelujah. And he sealed it with a circumcision. The seal of circumcision. When a Jew, you boast that you are a Jew as a man because you have been circumcised. And that law is not given to the other Gentiles. So you see yourself special because God sees you circumcised and remembers his covenant with you. But this time now, it was going to change. Amen. So that he can do something in a man that man can also claim to be a Jew. Not because of your culture like the Igbos. Because the Igbos said they are Jews. You are not Jews, you are Igbos. Hallelujah. Now he said, you worship a God that you don't even know. So it's important we know this God. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. But daring is what? The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now why I stress this is that on Sunday I started that teaching that is necessary to make us understand what we are here gathering for. That are titled, What Happened on the Day of Pentecost? What is it that happened on the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost, they did not gather so that they would speak in tongues. Pentecostal brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. So I try to look at what is it, because you are coming to receive the Holy Ghost that you don't even understand, you don't even know who He is. You don't know what the Holy Ghost is given for. You don't even know what it is. It's important you know what it is. That is the difference between all religions and true Christianity. The greatest stumbling block of all religion is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible referred to Him as a stone of stumbling. The greatest confusion. The Muslims find it difficult to understand that God has a son when He has no wife. Amen. The confusion is still on. They can't understand how that somebody can just come and die, condemn, and is dead. And from there, some people are claiming that by dying, they are saved. And that same Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. It's good to know Jesus. Knowing Him is life. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. People are running after power instead of waiting first until they have received the Holy Ghost. Church, it's important you understand this, because there is, according to Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there is another Jesus. There is another gospel. And there is another spirit. Be sure that the Jesus you call, Jesus, 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 make sure it is not another Jesus. Be sure that the gospel you are hearing is not another gospel. And be sure that the spirit you receive, take it, you fall down. You shake. You shake, you shake. You scream. Make sure it is not another spirit you are receiving and thinking you are receiving the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you that, especially in the Pentecostal movement, worldwide, and particularly now in Africa, I can tell you confidently by the judgment from this infallible word of God, knowing what I know concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that what many Pentecostals are receiving is not the Holy Ghost, but it is a ghost they are receiving. How do I know? It is by this knowledge that we like to impart on you. And we are going to look at three groups of people. The first group are those who have never received the Holy Ghost at all in their life, and they know it. I say it confidently. Anywhere I go, I use it to challenge God. You know, it says, command ye me. I think that's the way. It said, bring forth your strong reasons also. You know why? Why I like to remind God every day There are things he has showed me that has given me confidence to know that I am in his perfect will. And so, anytime I feel frustrated, I go to the Lord in prayer and remind him, remember so date, you told me this concerning the ministry. Therefore, arise. And I remember, I will never forget, that day my wife is here and she can bear me witness. At Ikeja here in Lagos, we were crossing to go and greet a sick sister some years back. And then we crossed the main road to the other side of the street to go and see the sister who had cancer. As we were crossing the road, the Lord was speaking to me. And I tapped my wife to tell her, see what I had now as we are crossing the road. The Lord told me years back, he said, anywhere you will go to minister and my seed is there, I will give them the Holy Ghost. You see why I am confidently saying somebody will receive the Holy Ghost? I'm not just speaking faith. I am speaking what I know will happen. Hallelujah. And I have traveled around. I have gone everywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I say, I confirm that God is still giving eternal life. Still giving eternal life. I was showing them the pictures of 2 years ago or so when I went to France, the church there. I said, the power of God came down so much. I said, the seat they sat had, they protruded iron from every seat, iron. And I was showing them in the house earlier in the day how it came out. And I was just looking, people were under anointing. If this thing should cut somebody, I am finished. Now, France, I do. And they were under anointing, and these things, every seat had it like that in the row. Very sharp, something, I don't know how it came about. But all the seats had it. It's very easy to know a church that does not have anointing. When you go, the whole place is built with glass. You go, no, say no anointing there. So that type of church. And I went there, and suddenly I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, Lord, if these people injure, I'm in Europe, they will come and catch me and they will ban me that I should not enter Europe again. They will not understand that it's anointing that caused it. Lord, don't let it happen. Don't let anybody injure upon how violent it is. If the person wants to go near there, something will push them away. No single person injured. No single person injured. And I know, okay, there's a sister from France here. Nosa? Where is Nosa? Nosa Eva. Where are you? I just wanted her to confirm. I wanted her to confirm what I'm saying to be the truth. You were in that program? Oh, she was not in that program. No. You were in that program? Okay, somebody here. You were not in that program. Sorry, somebody here. Okay, yes, this sister was there. You were in that program in Paris. Yes, sir. You saw what happened.
Yes, sir.
Did anybody injure?
No.
Was anointing not down?
Yes.
Everywhere. Praise the Lord. Now why I'm making reference to it is to tell you that the certainty that in this program again, something will happen to somebody here. Amen. And a lot of things will spring out from there. I always like to say, you see all these prophets prophesying, it was after this kind of program that the gift started. Amen. Including this Joseph here. It was in a program, Holy Ghost camp meeting like this, that the Lord arrested him. Hallelujah. And then began to manifest, and we shall come to that. You must be properly taught about this, especially among the enter message preachers. This aspect of the gospel is not emphasized, either because of ignorance or because of Brother Abraham said that has caged them. The quotes that they have quoted and quoted and quoted themselves out of grace. But God in his infinite mercy has reserved his own. You cannot stop the work of God. Somebody here, you will receive the Holy Ghost. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and we are confounded, because that every man had them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we are born, Parthians, Medes, and all? He kept calling, hallelujah. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and we are in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Listen to what happened. We are saying what happened on the day of Pentecost. What was it that attracted the people to come? They were speaking. Remember that they were Jews. That we are all in diaspora, all of them in different parts of the then world, in Europe there, with wherever they were, that they were taken in captivity from everywhere. Wherever you are, you come for the Passover feast. You come for the day of, for the feast of Pentecost. Everybody, wherever you are, you come to Jerusalem for that feast at that period, according to the ordinance, according to the law. And so they had their languages they speak wherever they came from. There are various nations where they were scattered abroad. Now, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. What is it? Is that the people were speaking in tongue, and listen, they were speaking in tongue, but each one of them, of the people of Jerusalem, that had somebody speaking in tongue, you are speaking in tongue, and three of us can be standing and listening to you, I'll be hearing my language. He will be hearing his language. Everybody listening to you, you are speaking in tongues, but all of us are hearing you talk to us in our individual languages. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, what is it that was happening? I spoke that day. They asked the question, what meaneth this? Last Sunday, I looked at it one after the other, the ones we could take. And I promise we shall continue today. We saw that Peter stood up that day and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He quoted Joel 2:28. That is, what was happening on the day of Pentecost was a prophecy of Joel fulfilling. Amen. What was happening that day was a prophecy of Joel fulfilling. That it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And upon the handmen will I pour my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody will receive the spirit, and then They will prophesy. The young men will prophesy. They will prophesy. Praise the Lord. They will see vision. Young men, they will see vision. They will prophesy. And exactly that was what was fulfilled that day. Hallelujah. But now with time, this same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, another Pentecost has been taking place among the so-called Pentecostals. Everybody speak in tongue, speak in tongue. You are speaking in tongue, but I am standing before you and then I'm not hearing what you are saying, and yet you are saying as it happened on the day of Pentecost, speak in tongue as evidence of the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's an error. So you cannot say you want to receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Stand up. Are you ready? Open your mouth. 1, 2, 3, go! If it is what happened on the day of Pentecost, we shall all gather to hear our own language. If not, close that your mouth. These are some of the confusion that is in Christendom today. That is why Peter said, be sure, make your calling and election sure. And I preach another message entitled Salvation by Assumption. Don't assume that you are saved. Don't be saved by the pronouncement of your pastor. Now you are born again. Say after me. Did you say it? Now you are born again. Now go and receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Then they take you to a room and begin to teach you. Then you yourself, you know that something is wrong. For those who are sincere, oh, everybody open your mouth. They have done it to me. Open your mouth. 1, 2, 3, go. Anything, just say. Just say anything. You see? You are getting it. 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 Ah! So please, get the tape I preached last Sunday. What was going on? What is the meaning of what is happening on the day of Pentecost? Hallelujah. Amen. We saw it that it was the prophecy of Joel being fulfilled. We saw it on Sunday. We saw it. It is the promise of the Father as there in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, because he promised in Luke chapter 12 verse 14, Luke chapter 24 verse 49, that I send the promise of the Father. And we saw also that it was the new covenant being established, which was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. Explained by Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 8, from verse 7 to verse 13. We saw also last Sunday how the process of this new covenant will take place in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 to verse 27, the process. And I emphasize this process of conversion. Why there was a need for the new covenant. The need for the new covenant because the old covenant was imperfect. It could not perfect any human being. It brought condemnation and death only to man. And we also saw that God, of course, did not bring the old covenant, the law, because he intended it to be kept. The Bible lets us know that he gave that covenant so that man will see the inadequacies around him as far as serving God was concerned. No human being has the ability in this flesh to live a life pleasing before God. No human being had the ability to live a life pleasing before God. So he lets you know, if you want to live a life pleasing before me, this is the law. And there are so many. Which one will you keep? Which one will you remember? And the punishment was always drastic. Some of them was death. Sentenced to death. And so, man therefore needed something to be done by God. And I stressed on Sunday that when it was time for God to do that, he did not use another man. He came down by himself. That is Emmanuel. Hallelujah. That is who we shout, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The mystery of God. The wisdom of God. That God used, hallelujah, to redeem man back to himself. Hey, the mystery is so interesting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we saw how that he came down and brought a new covenant. A new covenant. And that covenant targets the heart. When you read Ezekiel chapter 36 from verse 24, he brings them, cleans them with clean water. That is the process. Then takes the heart of stone away and gives the heart of flesh. And then, hallelujah, gives you a new spirit. And I explain it. So I took time on Sunday to explain these processes. And then, when he has taken, given you a new spirit, then he will now come and put his own spirit in you and cause you now to live a life that is pleasing before him by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And that spirit is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that is the seal of the new covenant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the evidence that you are in the new covenant, I stress it on Sunday, the evidence that you are part of the new covenant is that your heart is first dealt with. That stubborn heart is removed. And I also told you why some of us will reach this stage. We are only our spirit is changed. A new spirit is given to you. And I told you the difference. When a stony heart, when you are still with your stony heart, no matter what anybody preach, even if the Lord comes to you, if they are, no matter what you tell them, you are wasting your time. Their heart is like the heart of Cain. That God, even God, could not convince him to do the right thing. You have a heart of stone. That's why, no matter how the word of God is preached, you still live the life you want to live. No matter how contrary to the word of God, you always want to have your way. And see now, how can you be coming to a church like this and you are still living this worldly life? Some of you still go to beer parlor, drink. Some of you still, you know, fornicate. You are still fornicating. I mean, and some of you have been in this church for years, hearing and hearing and hearing. The reason why you have not changed is because your heart has not been dealt with yet. So God is interested in your heart. Let me tell you, you will not receive the Holy Ghost until the heart is dealt with. Oh, and that is the reason why we took these 21 days of taking an inward look. It's so important. Now, it is when your heart melts down and it is given now a heart of flesh. That is when you can hear something and you can break down and cry. That is when you can be convicted. Oh, when that young girl sent me a text message, until she's been a Christian, she's been going to church all these years. I know you are sitting down here now. I saw you when you came out. And then you sent me a text and then stating, all you are crying is, oh, who am I? Imagine, because of me, Jesus Christ went to the cross, suffered all that because of me. Oh, who am I? It is my sin that nailed Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Imagine, who am I? Do I deserve mercy? If not for my sin, will he? When you begin to think, and she was crying, and she, I called her 2 days after, And she said, if I had called her the day, she said she would not have picked the call. She was there wondering whether God could forgive her. Now, something happened, but she has been going to church all these years. But suddenly now, the heart has been dealt with in this 21 days consecration. And now she's seeing her inadequate. Now, that heart, you know, that heart is now ready to receive the Holy Ghost. And she began to condemn herself for the kind of lifestyle she lived before. Now, listen, church. We can make a mistake at that stage and think that now that I am feeling like that, I am born again now. Now you are at that stage, you'll be swearing. I will never go back there again. No! What is happening to you is not yet born again, no. You are not yet born again, no. That experience alone, can you take you into the kingdom? No, you have only found a conviction. You have convicted, got yourself convicted, so that you can get concern for your life. That is when you will say, Lord, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that we realize we're the ones that crucified Jesus. We agree. We didn't know. Now that we know from your sermon, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what did Peter say? Open your mouth, come and get the Holy Ghost. He said, repent! And that you have repented does not mean you have received eternal life. I'm saying something, though. Oh, Father, then you come and kneel down. Father, I will not do it again. You are crying. You are crying. It is only a conviction. But it is a work of the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost now dealing with your flesh, preparing you to come and take over. I'm saying this because we have come here to make our calling and election sure. Now, when your heart is in that estate, then he will come and give you a new spirit. I explained on Sunday, what is this new spirit? It is the tests, your interests, the things that interest you change. The kind of music you used to listen before, you won't be interested in them anymore. The kind of company you used to keep, the kind of places you used to go, will not interest you. Something in you now loves fellowship. Now there's something in you that loves to go to church. Now in that estate, you will go to church and ask to be a worker. Go and be in the choir. Go and be in the coordinator. You just want to do something for God. And sometimes you will think because you do that, you will say, now I am born again. Because I love to go to church. I love. When you hear Christian music, and you know what? At that estate, it is very easy to fall under anointing. In that estate. So, you can fall under anointing and you have not yet received the Holy Ghost. It is a new spirit that has been given. Your old spirit has been removed, and then a new spirit has been put inside of you. It is not yet the Holy Ghost. You know why? If you stop at that stage, Satan will send you back to what you used to be before you had that experience again. They are the ones that we find them active in the church, prophesying in one group or the other. You know, you see them go for evangelism, go everywhere, because a new spirit is in them. But when temptations come, when trials come, when difficulties come, which every Christian must face, that is when they begin to question themselves. Am I sure? Before I started this thing, I was enjoying. Everybody has forsaken me. See the way they suffer. Everybody is running away. This and that. Are you sure? And after some time, that voice that you hear takes over and you go back to where you have always been before. Why? Because there was no anchor. The only anchor that can keep a man sane in the face of all hardship, like Apostle Paul would say, what shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? He mentioned persecution. He mentioned peril, hunger, even death. He said, in all this, we are more than conquerors. How does he conquer it? How does he conquer it? Because every temptation is coming to make you deny Christ. You are a conqueror when, despite all that, you serve God as if nothing is happening around you. That makes you a conqueror. But no man has the ability to do that. Therefore, he moves to the next stage. He then comes and puts his spirit in you. Oh, glory be to God. If you see anybody that is living a Christian life, rejoicing in adversities, serving God under any condition, it is not by his power. It's not by his power. And Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, he said, for it is God which worketh in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Apostle Paul said, the life that I live is no longer I, but who? Christ that liveth in me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You yourself, you will know. There are certain situations that will confront you. You will know as an unbeliever how you will have reacted. And now, how you are now reacting. And it is at that estate that you can beat your chest and say, I am born again. When somebody was telling William Branham, you're making mouth everywhere. Say you are born again. But okay, confirm to me that you're a Christian. Confirm to me now. And he was abusing him. And William Branham told him, he said, you know who I was before now. You know my temperament before. You know I was, you know, anger. We grew up together. You know now that you've been abusing me all this while. And your teeth is still complete. It's evidence I am born again. Oh, glory be to God. The same William Branham was asked, now that I have the Holy Ghost, am I now free? I can act anyhow, anywhere. He said, yes, sure. Now that you have the Holy Ghost, you can act anyhow. You can go anywhere you like to go. He said, but I can assure you that if it is actually the Holy Ghost you have received, you can act anyhow, but you will not act wrong. You will not act wrong. I love those answers. Praise the Lord. That is what we are coming here. Various experiences we have received in our Christian life. We want the sealing. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30 referred to the Holy Ghost as the seal. He said, grieve not the Holy Ghost whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Why is it a seal? It is God's finished work. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, he has finished his work in you. Amen. So what is it that happened on the day of Pentecost? Amen. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. From verse 8. The condition of Israel that necessitated the second covenant. Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drunk from the breast. I have explained this scripture several times. But see where I am going. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Then, verse 11. Listen to verse 11. He says, and verse 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. When did this happen? It happened on the day of Pentecost. With stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to these people. That prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. So what was that tongue that was being spoken? Amen. It was a sign of the coming of a new covenant. It was a sign. It was a sign. Now, later on, the Holy Ghost began to manifest in other areas also that Apostle Paul began to teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit that is in you will manifest. And it manifests in those gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It manifests through those gifts, and it also manifests through the fruits of the Spirit. So there is the fruit of the Spirit, and there is the gifts of the Spirit, also known as the talents. In the parable of the talents. I just want you to note, to prepare yourself for that sealing. So that if there is anybody here, you are satisfied with the estate that you are in, or rather, you are having crisis because you are thinking you are born again, then why are you still facing the type of crisis you are facing? You want to move forward, you will fall, Yakata. You will fall because the anchor is not there. The anchor is not there. The anchor is not there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have I confused anybody? Any question?